But tonight, what we're going to talk about, see, God is doing a number of things with us because he has a definite purpose and plan and timetable for us. And some of us, we get so excited and we really want to be used of God. I've gotten all over into it, so you might as well go. That, you know, we'll sometimes jump out there too soon or take off in the wrong direction, but we really believe we've convinced ourselves that it's God. And sometimes we run into trouble. And so tonight we're going, the title of this message is simply "Be Not Deceived." That's all, because we need to make sure that what we're doing is from God. So let's start at John 3, and then we're going to read John 13. Not always going to read both of those together, but he said do it tonight, so we are. And after that, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 11. Right. Let's read John 3, 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In John 13, verse 34, in the Voice translation says, "So I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways." Amen. Now, let's 2 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. And I'm in the Phillips translation. And Paul says, "Does this mean that I do not love you? God knows it doesn't. But I am determined to maintain this boast so as to cut the ground from under the feet of those," listen to this, "who profess to be God's messengers on the same terms as I am." God's messengers, they're counterfeits of the real thing. Dishonest practitioners. God's messengers, only by their own appointment. Nor do their tactics surprise me when I consider how Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is only to be expected. It is only to be expected that his agents, whose agents? That's right. That Satan's agents shall have the appearance of ministers of righteousness. But they will get their deserts one day. Don't worry about it. He said Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So don't get bent out of shape if all his cohorts walk around the same way. He said it's going to happen. But now let me ask you this, because when I was doing some research, I came, how many of you have ever start, you start down a path, and then you're not sure why, but you feel led to go, so you just go. Well, that's how it was. I was reading this scripture, and then he gave me another little term that you've heard me use before, and I'll share in a minute. But it took me to an article on something that I've never heard before. How many of you have ever heard of inductive reasoning? Okay, some. Okay, that's okay. I didn't really either. And it says inductive reasoning is reasoning from detailed facts to general principles. And it's a connection of isolated facts by a general hypothesis. That means you have all of these facts floating around, but because of what you think, you put them all together. See, it doesn't necessarily mean they belong together, but you put them all together. Let me give you this example. This is what you've heard me say before. You can say it with me when you see what it is. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a duck, right? Because you're basing your conclusion on strong evidence that suggests that your conclusion is possible. You know, it's possible. It could be a duck. But see, if you're a duck and you know how to survive in the wild, you know it's hunting season because Charlie's gone and you know all this stuff. And you're out there, you're by yourself. And you're lonely. See, I'm a lonely duck. Good for you. he's lonely. And so he hears a rustle or something, and he looks and sees something walking like him. And then it's sounding like him. And so he's saying, it must be for the duck. I got a friend. And so he takes off, exposes himself, and bang. That's it. He breathed his last breath. Okay. What happened? Well, just because it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it could be a duck decoy. Okay. Because a decoy is by design made to mimic the duck. It's designed to cause other ducks to think it's got a friend. Okay? And it's the same way in everything. People have gotten into trouble going after decoys because they think it's the real thing. And they so want it to be the real thing that they don't take the time to find out if it's the real thing. And they wind up being deceived. So you just had a few facts. Sounded good. I'm used to that sound. It's moving like I would move. That must be just like me. Not necessarily. You have to consider some possibilities. Because, like I said, a decoy wants you to think it's the real thing. It's just like fishing. They have these lures. I mean, they have these things that look like flies, whatever fish like to eat. And you put it in the water and make it move like the real thing. That fish bites it, you have a good dinner. Okay? It didn't. By the time it realized it, it was too late. But what we have to realize is that while Satan may masquerade and does masquerade as an angel of light, we should be able to see through his disguise. We should. What does it say in Genesis 1:27 about how God made us? In his image and after his likeness. That's how who made us? Okay, so can God be tricked? Can he be fooled? Can he be deceived? And we're made in his image and after his likeness? And we have the same authority on earth that he has. So that means we shouldn't be tricked, fooled, or deceived either. We shouldn't. Remember I said that even though Satan masquerades as an angel of light, we should be able to see through him? Look at Matthew 24. I used to misunderstand this scripture. And it's only because of things that I've heard concerning it. I've heard it used as an excuse. Verse 24, Jesus is telling us, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Okay, the verse does not say that Satan will or can deceive the elect of God, us. It very clearly states, if it were possible. If it were possible, that's telling me it shouldn't be possible. One translation says that the Contemporary English Version says that they will even try to fool God's chosen people. Again, it doesn't say they will absolutely fool some of the people. It said they will try to fool God's chosen people. And so my question is, then why do, if we are not, cannot be deceived, why do we get deceived? If we were designed so that Satan can't deceive us, why do we get deceived? Why do we go off in some in nutty direction sometimes? Well, while the enemy can't deceive us, he can create a circumstance and cause us to use inductive reasoning and deceive ourselves. Is that me? That better? I saw something here in Genesis 3. And in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said unto the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.'" And we all know she was erroneous in that statement. "And the serpent said to the woman, 'Ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.'" Then it says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." Now let's look at her deductive inductive reasoning. Okay? She was aware that God put trees in the garden that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. So what she heard made sense. What she saw, rather, made sense. She looked at the tree and said, "This looks good." And then she remembered, "Yeah, God put trees in here that look good." She didn't understand that it was the serpent, looking like a duck, talking like a duck, and walking like a duck. She didn't know she was talking to the enemy. She didn't know. We're going to see that in a minute. She really didn't know. But she exposed herself to the decoy, and deception came, and bang, just like that. But, you know, you don't have to respond, but has anyone here ever allowed themselves to be deceived by how someone or something looked or what you believe that person or thing might do to you or for you or make you feel? Have you ever allowed yourself to be deceived because you found something or someone desirable? Okay. Did it matter that there was someone who loved you trying to waving a red flag saying, "No, he's not the one, she's not the one"? No, you had these feelings, you had these desires, and your inductive reasoning says, "This is the real thing." Everyone else trying to tell you is a decoy, but because your biological clock is ticking, or you feel, you know, your normal time is running out, or you so want to get everything that God has for you and that you read you're supposed to have, you deceive yourself. Has anyone ever been deceived by the thought of having a good meal I mean, that's right. I mean, me growing up, McDonald's wasn't as popular then when I was young, but hey, a burger is a burger. Okay. But when you think about this, when we think about all that Eve was looking at, I think there was one other factor that the Bible doesn't really talk about. But, you know, when it's one of those things you look at it and you said, yeah, that makes sense. This is a that makes sense moment. Because I think about things. And I'm thinking about all that Eve, what made her think she was looking at a duck? You know, what made her deceive herself? Well, after Eve ate from the tree, what was the next thing she did? She turned to her husband. Where was her husband? Right there with her. So now you have the person that was created first. The person who is your husband, who loves you, whose job was protector of the garden, who everything in the garden had to obey, is standing right next to you and says nothing. Nothing. You're looking at everything. You're hearing what the devil's saying, not knowing it's the devil. And your companion ain't saying anything. Well, it's very easy to conclude. You know, if Pastor Red and I are in here and we see you folks going off in a direction that we know is wrong and we don't say anything, you're going to think it's all right. And you're going to go ahead and do it. Eve was absolutely deceived. But here's the thing that got me. 1 Timothy 2, verse 14, it says, and Adam was not deceived. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because then my mind started going. If Adam was not deceived, think about this. If Adam was not deceived, then he didn't see Eve speaking to the serpent. He saw Eve speaking to the devil because he wasn't deceived. He knew exactly. When you're not deceived, you know exactly what's going on. He knew. And even though he wasn't deceived, he ate it anyway. He deceived himself. Why? Because he wanted to, I guess. You see that how when you just look at it, when I looked at the script, Adam was not deceived. Okay, so he knew, yet he still went with the decoy. Why? I don't know. You know, some folks say that, you know, he didn't want his wife mad at him. After all, the Bible said it's better to have a millstone around your neck than to be with a contentious wife. You know, who knows what? But you have to realize Adam was not deceived. He knew what was going on. He knew what Eve was talking about doing was wrong. But he deceived himself into thinking it's okay. Why? Maybe because when she bit into the fruit, she didn't just drop dead. I don't know. But the important thing to understand is he wasn't deceived. Why do we get so wrapped up, allow ourselves to get so wrapped up, you know, mostly for good reasons? Like I said, we really want to be used of God. We may not be ready, but we want to go now. So we'll come up with things and convince ourselves that it's God, because what we want to do looks like something God would want us to do. And I'm not even going to say God doesn't want you to do it. Maybe not right now. but we don't take the time to find out. We just say, this is a godly act. This will bless the people. I'm going for it. Or we don't want to be by ourselves. We think that we can change them. We do. And we'll get excited. I remember once, Deacon Phyllis and I, we went to her cousin, got married, former football player. He used to play with the Redskins. And when we went over to their home, and they were telling me about it, it was before they got married, they were planning the wedding. And she was excited because Vicky said to me, yeah, we went over to his grandmother's house and she had a Bible on the table. I'm like, his grandmother's house. What does that mean? Just because someone has a Bible on the table doesn't mean that they have the Bible in them. Okay? All right? It's very easy to see that there's a Bible on the table. To find out if the Bible is in the person, that takes a little time. Okay? Now, you may not want to spend the time. But see, the Bible on the table looks like a duck. Okay, sound, and they know one Christian phrase, and we get excited. You come over, they say, "Praise God!" You say, "Yeah, I knew he was a believer." No, he just knows the lingo. That's all. You know, I mean, how many you've all heard? Folks go to church looking for mates. They don't come to church looking for God. They don't come to church to fellowship with God. So you want a good man, you want a good woman, go to church. You'll find one. And because you met them in the church, you think you got a duck. Okay. And then at the minute they get you outside the church, bang. And you find out, decoy. I've deceived myself. Why? I didn't wait to find out if this is God. John 10, believe it or not, we're almost finished. I'm not keeping you too long. God doesn't need a lot of time tonight. Right? Think about this. Okay, because we have to get to the point where we stop grabbing hold of anything that even slightly resembles that it might be God. Okay. John 10. I'm going to tell you right now, this translation is going to make you think. Okay. It's really going to make you think. All right. Are you ready? Okay, verse 1 to 5. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. This is the Message translation. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. Okay. You know he's up to no good. All right? So I wish the children were here. I'd like to know if you have to sneak that person in your home past your parents, you know. Okay. Or if they try to sneak you in, you know they're up to no good. A sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. So here's the thought question. Since Jesus said that his sheep will scatter because they don't recognize the voice of the stranger, how come we're not scattering when the enemy is speaking? Why is it that we recognize the voice? I told you it would make you think. Okay. And that's how we deceive ourselves. Because there's something that we want. We have a burning desire for. Something that we already know is a not now thing, but we so want it, we listen to the enemy tell us all the reasons why we should have it now. And tell us how we can obtain it. And it sounds good. I don't know what it is with these ears. But we will do these things deceiving ourselves that it's God. And the minute we expose ourselves, bang. And we're wondering, God, why'd you let this happen? He's like, I've been trying to tell you. What did Pastor Ed say? What did Pastor Greg say? What did they tell you? Why didn't you listen? Because your reasoning took all of these little facts that looked like God, or possibly is a way God would lead you, and because of what you wanted, you made that your reality and followed the decoy. And you got hit. You took a hit. That's what happens, folks. That's what happened with. There are too many Christian marriages that are having issues with infidelity. Too many. Well, folks are believing that they're believing a decoy. They don't realize. Wait a minute. See, it's the same garden principle. God, the Bible says, every tree in the garden was pleasing to the eye and good for food. But this one tree in the middle is off limits. Okay? Well, when you got married, God gave you your own personal tree. That was pleasing to your eyes and good. Otherwise, you wouldn't have married them. But then you let a decoy come. Why? Because you had an argument? Or you said something that they didn't understand? And this decoy promises to listen, okay, to be there, to take you places, whatever, cook you a good meal, clean the house better, do your laundry, whatever it is that you think you're lacking in what God has provided. And you follow after the decoy, and bang, your marriage goes. Or if you're in the ministry, your ministry goes. Now, what happens to all the people? What happens to your children, if you have any? What happens to you? You say, oh, the enemy deceived me. No, he didn't. No, he can't. You deceived yourself. Why? You didn't take the time to find out if you were going after the real thing. Romans 4. I'm just going to give you three ways to combat it, and then I'm done. Pastor Ed's been sharing this for I don't know how long. Pastor Sarah shared it. Forever. We don't want to get trapped by a decoy. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by who? Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Doesn't say how many are led by their emotions. Led by prophecy, led by signs. Doesn't say that. Doesn't matter if you received a prophetic word that you're going to get married. Don't go out there looking for the person. You'll find a decoy. See, God didn't tell you that to go out to put you on a hunt. Okay? He told you that to give you comfort because he wanted you to know he's heard your prayers. And he's going to answer your prayers. But what I haven't heard any time a word like that went forth was when? Okay. So what are you supposed to do? Wait. You keep doing what you're doing until God presents you. It's that simple. I tell everyone, go back to the garden. Eve stayed with her father until he presented her to her husband. You need to do the same thing. Stay with your father until your father presents you to your husband. You have a more sure word. God said, you're going to get married. That should be enough. But we'll go out, we'll start pulling in isolated things. We're the first Christian person that smiles at you and says, this must be the one. Like Claire Huxley on the gram, just shake him. You know, say, no, that may not be the one. Well, how are you going to know? Time. Time. 1 John 4. 1-3. Sorry, I said 3 scriptures. There are actually 5. They're not long. Message translation. 1 John 4, 1-3. My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Okay? Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in this world, and all other lying folk too. Here's how to test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. Devil will never tell you, and messenger, devil will never tell you, yes, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. I guess that eliminates the reason that your job is to bring them to Christ. God said, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So why would he tell you to marry an unbeliever with the hope that they're going to become a believer? Right? If that's the person, they'll become a believer. They'll say yes before you say I do. This is the spirit of Antichrist that you heard was coming. Well, here it is, sooner than we thought. Ephesians 5. Verse 6, I'm only going to read the first part of it. Let no man deceive you with vain words. That means don't get yourself all wrapped up by what anybody says. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means. That means don't get yourself all wrapped up and off-kilt by anything anybody does. Why? Because there could be decoys. Now, it doesn't mean you walk around paranoid. It means you walk in wisdom. If it's from God, well, we get to James 1. Be doers of the word. Obey the message, and not merely listeners to it. Betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. So what do? What God told you. And only what God told you. How God told you. And when God told you. If you do that, you'll never deceive yourself. Because when a decoy comes, you'll look at it and you'll say, I know who you are. You're a deception. You're masquerading around as an angel of light. Well, you're not deceiving me. And you're not going to cause me to deceive myself. I'm going to be patient. The Bible says after you've done the will of God, you know, you just be patient. He will reward you. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, that give him their undivided attention. Regardless of what it is, we use a lot of references to relationships because that's where a lot of folks are, but it could be anything. Some folks, they're tired of what they think are, that they're tired of living in lack. So you do something stupid and convince yourself, oh, it was God. He told me to do it. Well, really? Why didn't it work? God does know how to multiply. He knows basic math. Guarantee you. He's not going to tell you. He's not going to put you in something over your head that you fail. God doesn't set you up to fail. Ever. Ever. He provides. If it's God, everything that you need will manifest when you need it. And even with that, you better try the Spirit by the Spirit. Because the enemy may manifest things. Remember, he's going to come as an angel of light. He's going to come doing miraculous acts. Why? To get you to deceive yourself, to think he's the real thing. He's not. So you have to know. You have to know that you cannot be deceived, but you can deceive yourself. The enemy can't deceive you, but you can deceive yourself. Because the Bible tells us clearly, if he could, he would deceive you. He knows he can't deceive you, but he's going to keep going about trying to. Why? Hoping it creates an atmosphere for you to believe, for you to take all these different things and put them together based on your own hypothesis. Based on, I want this to happen. Hey, this looks good. Hey, that looks good. Oh, these three things go together. Yeah, this must be God. Ask him. Legitimately. Not, this is of you, right, God? Yeah, I knew it was. No, wait. You may have to go into prayer and fasting. Maybe. But whatever it is, take the time to make sure what you have is genuine. You take a diamond to a jeweler, and you say, I have a 2-carat diamond I want to sell, and you tell him how much you want for it. That jeweler's not going to go into the cash register and just give you the money you asked for. He's going to take the diamond, and he's going to do a thorough examination to make sure it's not a cubic zirconium. Okay? He's going to take out the little funny microscope glass, and he's going to examine that guy. And whatever other tests he has to do, I mean, they have some electronic ways now where they put a diamond in and it scans it. And they'll do all of those things to make sure that what you're giving them is real. Some of us will take more time in where we're investing our money than where we're investing our lives. I had to tell a group of parents that once. I said, you folks, because their premise was that it was no big deal about who their children went out on a date with. And I asked them, I said, well, how many of you had a large sum of money to invest? The first person that walked up to you and said hi on the street, you'd give them all your money and say, invest this. I said, they won't do that. That's crazy. I said, why is that crazy? You don't know anything about them. You don't know where they came from. You don't know what their intentions are. You don't even know if they know how to handle money. I said, right. Well, you let your child go out with anybody that comes up and says hi. I said, well, I'd have a nice smile. I have a nice smile. Before Christ, my intentions weren't always honorable. Didn't make my smile any less nicer. I know how to smile. You understand? What do you understand? Somebody tell me. Don't be deceived. The devil cannot deceive you. And if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it could be a duck decoy. I'm done. Father, thank you. Lord, this was fun. This was fun. Did you have fun? This was fun. But while it was fun, Lord, it was so true. Thank you for uncovering another way that the enemy is using to try and keep us from realizing your plan for our lives individually and for this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a keener awareness of his ways. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the answer as to combat all that the enemy tries to do. It's very simple. We need to just stay true to who we are in Christ and let your Holy Ghost lead us. Let your Holy Ghost guide us into all truth. And we'll never, never give in to a decoy. Thank you, Lord, for your early warning system in each one of us. You'll let us know when we're about to miss it so we can immediately get back on track. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that we will all become everything you have said we're going to become, and we're going to have everything that you said we're going to have in your due season. And we will wait for it patiently. In Jesus' name, amen.